All right. You ready to do this?
Yep.
Wait.
Oh, he's so got the cap on backwards.
Pokemon hat spin.
Kind of burns.
Yeah. Did you scrape your forehead there?
Yeah, it gives like a little hat rug burn.
Oh. Sorry about your head.
Welcome to the Three Dead Boys. It's a podcast about the history and culture of death and decomposition. My name is Dorian. With me, as always, is Max.
How you doing, Max?
Tired.
Yeah?
Yeah. I am moving, and yep. I'm in between leases, and I'm planning a wedding. I'm very tired.
Yeah.
Do you have any banter? Because this is going to lead directly into the lead into the episode.
No. We can just get right into it. I already made the nap goof last weekend.
You did.
So, nope, I'm fresh out of goofs. Why don't we just fucking plunge right in?
You don't want to talk about Shin Godzilla, what you just saw?
No, because then we'll go off on a 15-minute tangent about Shin Godzilla and how it's maybe the single most underrated Godzilla movie and maybe the best Godzilla movie and how everybody should watch it and stop being afraid of trying to understand Japanese bureaucracy, because once you give it a shot and try, you'll see that the movie has a lot to offer. And that it's really compelling in ways that you never thought a kaiju movie could be. But that's neither here nor there.
Katrina and I just finished Chernobyl, and that's a very bureaucratic movie.
Yeah.
And it also has a lot of radiation, so it's kind of like Godzilla.
It's probably the same thing. Chernobyl was kind of based off of Shin Godzilla, is my understanding.
I'm not really aware of
any connections to real, tragic, awful events or anything.
None that any governments have admitted to, anyway. So whoops.
Fair enough.
They should probably do that.
Well, this isn't a podcast about politics. This is a podcast about death. What do you have prepared for us today, Max?
All right, Dorian. So today's topic is about death and politics.
Oh shit.
So in 1857, no, it's not really.
Thank you,
Dorian. I'm tired, and I want to take a vacation, but we do have to record an episode.
Right.
So as pooped as I am, I figured that I would bring you along on my vacation with me, and we would combine kind of a rollicking, trans-global, fun vacation trip into an episode recording.
I would love that.
Yeah.
That sounds thrilling.
So I thought that for our itinerary, we could go see five and a half, six, of the world's weirdest cemeteries.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's kind of fun.
So we're going to be leaving this stuffy bedroom that we're recording in, and we're going to actually go to these places?
Yeah, the Pre-Dead Boys Lake House.
Ooh.
Back in the lake house. We've done 4 locations of recording this so far.
Something like that.
Yeah.
This podcast has followed us to different moves, to different houses and different life stages. It's been amazing. It's a chronicle of our lives.
I thought you were going to make like an It Follows joke or something like that.
Oh, no.
But
damn, I wish I had a good one. Told you, I'm fresh out of goofs.
Well, hopefully this vacation will recharge our goofometers.
Exactly.
Jesus. But we can't really take these seltzers through TSA with us. So before we can actually start the episode and start our transglobal trip, we've got to drain them with the Pre-Dead Boys cracking to the top moment. This week brought to you by LaCroix Karate.
Drain them, boys.
The tall boys.
Oh, man.
These are really good.
They are. And I think I'm still kind of dehydrated from being out in the sun all this morning, so this is very good for my body. My body is ready.
How many times have you peed yet today?
At least once.
Well, that's not good.
I don't count how many times I pee. I've peed like maybe a dozen times. I don't know. I've been drinking a lot of water.
My this is Buckwild. So my parents' upstairs toilet, I don't really know why this is there or a thing that they've decided to install, but the toilet has like a light on it.
Uh-huh.
That shows inside the bowl of the toilet.
Okay.
So if you walk into the bathroom and it's dark, it just kind of looks really radioactive.
Oh, wow.
So the photo I'm showing Dorian now is the toilet lit up in like a lime green color. But about every 3 seconds, it rotates colors.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
You know, it'll be like purple, like a bright yellow. It's a very strange thing, and I don't understand why they have it.
I love this, and I'm very jealous. I feel like going to pee at night is probably way easier now. You don't have to turn on the blindingly powerful light of the bathroom light. You can just piss in the light.
I feel like it was invented for bathrooms where when you turn on the light, the fan comes on too. Because mm-hmm. sometimes you just don't want to wake everybody up by making the fan go real loud.
And you can take very artful photos of the contents.
Yeah, it's like green lit of your big stinky gross stuff. Don't act like people haven't done that. Freaks. Oh boy. I got a feeling like they're going to kick us out of the country for this. So, Dorian, we're going to fly over to Europe for a bit. Well, wait a second, because it's kind of tough to get... it's kind of tough to get good flights to Europe from Columbus.
We need a layover.
We got to get down to Atlanta first.
Yes.
So let's fly down to Georgia. And we're also not flying into Georgia. We're going to fly into Savannah and then drive to Atlanta.
I have a whole itinerary,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For this trip that we're actually taking.
Yep.
That's the cabin light coming on.
Well, actually, before the cabin light comes on, Dorian, take a look out the window of the plane. What are you seeing down there, Dorian?
It's like two diamond shapes on the tarmac.
They're kind of rectangles.
Yeah.
Those are two graves in the middle of the Savannah, Georgia airport tarmac.
What?
Yeah. So those are known as the Dotson Runway Graves. Because, for obvious reasons, I'm sure you could imagine.
It's on a runway.
Uh-huh.
In Dotson?
That's the name of the couple who's buried there.
Oh.
It's a husband and wife.
Okay.
So these graves are two side-by-side graves in the middle of an airport tarmac. And they have been there for almost 150 years.
Wow. Is that how long the airport has been there?
No, because people were too stupid to have invented airplanes back then.
Yeah,
so, of course. So I'm glad that they finally like stopped being lazy and invented airplanes so that we could get things done faster.
Yes, sure.
Here's the actual history of the Dotson Runway Graves.
The story behind how the husband and wife came to rest in the middle of the bustling runway begins in 1877. Catherine Dotson died and was buried in a family cemetery that the Dotsons spent decades caring for and tending. 7 years later, her husband Richard died, and they were buried side by side. In the 1980s, the Savannah Airport wanted to expand and construct a new runway, which, unfortunately, went right through the Dotsons' family cemetery. The descendants of Catherine and Richard refused to allow their remains to be moved, claiming their ancestors would not have wanted to leave the land they purchased. So, the airport paved over the graves and installed headstones in the middle of the runway.
Yep. It seems kind of weird.
Is that the compromise that both parties agreed to? They're just cool with that? Like, tell you what, we are going to put a runway down, but we will put gravestones for you guys. Eh?
Yes, actually.
Wow.
And that's kind of an interesting legal thing that we're going to run into a couple more times, actually, as we go through some of these weird cemeteries. But in United States law and a lot of other countries, you can't exhume a body without the permission of the living relatives. So the airport rightfully bought the land from the Dotson family, but the Dotson family didn't give permission to have those bodies removed from the land. So the airport owned the land around the bodies, but you can't just like exhume a body and move it somewhere else without permission. So that's kind of an interesting loophole that happens a lot when you're trying to block a sale of land, is by refusing to allow a company to move bodies.
So they just build over the bodies.
Typically, yeah. And I guess in this case, they figured like, well, they're not Native American bodies, so we're not going to get like a poltergeist situation.
Right.
But it still feels a little silly that they were just like, well, all right. And just tarmacked over it. It's weird because you can't have an actual gravestone there.
Yeah.
So they're just like flat headstones that are sunk into the runway that are just there, and planes fly over them all the time.
So planes literally run over these two people's graves every day.
Yeah.
Tight.
It's pretty cool. Now, this actually comes up a little bit. An instance of this that we're not going to talk about. There's a restaurant in India that bought some land, and when they were trying to build their restaurant, they found three bodies on the land. And the people who had the land refused to allow the bodies to be moved, thinking that, you know, they just made the money from the sale of the land without actually having to give anything up.
Yeah.
So instead, the restaurant just built a little fence around the bodies and has the coffins exposed, and the rest of the restaurant built around it.
Oh, no.
It's very cool, actually.
Wait, they exposed the coffins?
Yeah.
So they, like, partially dug them up.
Yeah. Here is a photo of it right here.
Oh.
It just looks like a little, like, it's not even a particularly nice restaurant.
It's in the middle of the restaurant. Yeah. That's crazy. It's very respectfully done, though. It's a nice, tidy little area.
Yeah.
All right. That's what's up. She's got three dead people in the center of that restaurant. That's amazing.
The New Lucky Restaurant is what it's called.
Wow.
So yeah, I guess being buried in the middle of an airport runway might be a little cooler than being buried in a restaurant, which is why I bumped the restaurant one from this list.
Didn't make the cut.
Didn't make the cut. But we talked about it anyway, so I guess it kind of did.
Yeah. You're welcome.
So, as you would imagine, having graves in the middle of an airport runway creates a couple spooky stories. I guess there's legends that if you're landing your plane just after sundown, you can see two ghostly figures at the end of the runway.
Ooh.
Which is a little spooky, I guess, but
I like it.
Yeah. Surprisingly tame, which is why it only came in at number five.
Okay. That's number five. Number four. Is this ranked then? Is this a ranked list?
It's kind of ranked in escalating order of coolness.
Okay.
So now we're going to get to number 4.5, which is just a step above five.
Okay.
I just figured we'd throw it on the list because we've got a little bit of a layover before our next flight out. So we're going to take a quick little detour to Decatur, Georgia.
I love Decatur.
Have you been?
Yeah. I went on a work trip at my old job. We basically went and crammed in a trip to one of our restaurants and to Community Q and Heirloom Market Barbecue and like a few other places. But Decatur is like the coolest part of Georgia, all stuffed into one area. If you're ever there, you got to go to Victory Sandwich Bar. They just have a bunch of cool like sign painting and stuff. Sorry, I'm on this rant about how...
No, that's cool.
About Decatur, Georgia. But I fucking love... I want to live in Atlanta. So it's just too dang... The weather sucks here in Ohio, and I'm just going to move. That's what everybody in Ohio says.
One stickier place in the world.
Yeah, everyone in Ohio complains about how cold it gets in the winter and how hot it is in the summer, and then they move to somewhere hotter and stickier like Florida or California or Atlanta. In my case, that's what I'm doing.
It's foolish of them to do. And I feel bad because I didn't know you've been to Decatur, and I'm going to make you feel like a real fool when we talk about this next thing. But it sounds like you went to a lot of cool independent places, kind of cool local restaurants.
Yeah.
Things like that. So on our trip, we're actually going to stop into a Walmart.
Oh. Oh, so we're not going to see any of that fun, cool stuff.
No. We're going to see a Walmart.
All right.
And, you know, worse than that, we're actually going to see the back of a Walmart.
This better be cool, Max.
Yeah, so just let's, here, just pull the car around behind this Walmart. you see that?
Yeah. Is that a mausoleum?
That is a mausoleum.
Are you fucking kidding
this
me?
This is a mausoleum in the back of a Walmart parking lot. It's called Crowley Mausoleum, and there are a few graves on the roof.
What?
It's pretty neat, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, so there's graves on the roof, but there's also, like, the very stereotypical mausoleum gate here. Are there bodies inside, like a tomb mausoleum?
Yeah.
Who are these people that are buried in here?
You know, as I'm sure you guessed from the name Crowley Mausoleum, it's the family mausoleum of the Crowley family. And similar to the Dotson Runway graves, this family had a mausoleum, they had a burial plot, and they kind of just refused to sell their land.
Okay.
So, yeah. The area around this mausoleum just got snatched up by a bunch of developers who bought, like, every square foot of the area surrounding it. But the family just refuses to sell this mausoleum. So, you know, a Walmart, if you've ever been, is pretty much just a big parking lot with a big flat building on it. So luckily, they just kind of pushed this building to the back of the Walmart, and it just kind of sits back there. It's connected to, like, an auto parts store, which is very silly.
That's so wild.
But unlike the Dotson graves, there are 13 bodies in this mausoleum.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of packed. And unlike how the Dotson family sold the land to the airport and just were kind of like, hey, just keep these people here. They tended this land. They've been buried here for a century. Let's just keep their graves here. The Crowley family was not happy that a Walmart bought their family mausoleum and just kind of moved on to it.
I could imagine why.
So what they decided to do was tack a big ol' ornate plaque on the side of their mausoleum explaining the history of it. And it's kind of a dunk. It's just very, like, they're thumbing their noses at the development around it. Here's the plaque.
Family Cemetery of Benjamin C. Crowley and a number of his descendants. Heirs included the Hudgens and Webb family. Their home was located 100 yards southeast of this area. They settled here in the year of 1802. This area was a land grant from the King of England. This project was accomplished under the planning, coordination, and supervision of John H. Crowley.
Yeah, so John H. Crowley was their living descendant at the time and was not a fan of, you know, malls and Walmarts.
Sure.
So what he decided to do was research his family's history, basically figure out where their old homestead was, figure out how they obtained the land in the first place, and then had this plaque tacked to the side of his family's mausoleum as a big, like, fuck you to everyone who just bought the land for no reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is the family who was buried here. Our home was right behind that Wendy's over there. This was given to us by the King of England.
Yeah, which it clearly belonged to in the first place.
Yeah, that's a little silly. It's like, if you're complaining about that, like, you also stole the land, so I don't know.
You guys stole this land that was given to us from England.
And really, what's more American than just building a Walmart over every single thing you see?
True and truer words.
It's kind of silly. So that's just our little Georgia detour. It's about time to get to our next flight.
Oh, cool. So we're not going to go to Heirloom Market Barbecue? We're just going to leave?
We are going to leave.
All right.
Sorry, buddy. I do, if it makes you feel any better, when I was writing this, I was reminded of the video that I have of you just biting into a Walmart rotisserie chicken.
Yeah.
Just whole hog.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I'm going to need to post it when this episode goes up.
I fully endorse and support that decision. That was a great chicken.
It's very silly. So let's get on that plane, and we're going to head over to France.
Oh. Oui.
We should probably just leave these helicopter noises outside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the State Fair helicopter circling my home.
Do you think they're up there in the State Fair helicopter going like, see that right down there? That's where they record Pre-Dead Boys.
Those are podcasters.
Because your light's on and there's no curtain.
We're just here
looking
like,
in.
Fuck you, go away.
So, we have disembarked in France now. You've got a little beret. You've got a baguette.
Yep, and a weird mustache.
You're smoking cigarettes like there's no tomorrow.
Oui.
And we're going to head over to the Oisin American Cemetery in northern France.
Hmm.
It's pretty nice. As you might expect from an American cemetery in France, this was built after World War I, when a lot of Americans died, and it would have been really expensive to send their bodies back to the United States.
Huh.
So we just, you know, took a bunch of land from France and built a big graveyard on it.
That's tight. That would explain why it feels so free here.
This one big cemetery?
Yeah, because you know that, like, we, America, introduced freedom and liberty to the French. You know that, right? I know you study a lot of history, but I don't know if you know that.
It's where the French and Indian War came in.
Yeah, we gave them democracy.
So this cemetery, as you know, you're looking around and observing the lush green hills, it's a military cemetery.
Hmm.
So everything is pretty uniform. A lot of those bright white headstones sitting around in very nice, neat rows. It's nice.
It's lovely.
The cemetery proper holds the remains of over 6,000 American soldiers who died during World War I, as you might expect. There's, you know, some memorials for unknown soldiers, all that stuff. But the interesting thing about this cemetery is that there is a plot for American soldiers that the government specifically wanted to forget.
Why did it want to forget? Aren't we supposed to never forget?
We're supposed to never forget, except for these folks buried in the Oisin American Cemetery, Plot E.
Mm.
So Plot E is about 300 feet from the main cemetery. It is hidden behind a building. You have to go through the building to get to it, and it's like an office building, too. It's very silly.
Huh.
Plot E contains the bodies of 96 American military prisoners who were executed by hanging or firing squad. And all of these prisoners were American soldiers who were dishonorably discharged and executed for crimes including rape, murder, and desertion.
Wow.
Really seems like you shouldn't be executed for desertion. Doesn't really seem on par with the other two.
Yeah, although that would be a serious problem and destroy morale in a wartime situation. That does seem a little extreme.
Yeah.
But I guess, I don't know, maybe there's a logic, like, someone does that, it's not like they're going to stop trying to escape battle. They might put lives in danger. I don't know. I'm stretching here, trying to understand it.
So here's a photo of Plot E at the Oisin Military Cemetery. It's actually kind of eerie.
By photo, you mean look over here at Plot E, which is where we are?
By photo, I mean take a gander over here.
Okay, yeah, we're keeping this big.
So it's weird.
Yeah, there are gravestones, apparently. They're just very small and kind of tucked away into the grass, so...
Yeah. So the rest of the cemetery looks like, you know, Arlington. As I mentioned before, just white gravestones in nice, neat rows.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, but they're sticking up. They're like teeth almost.
Yeah.
That's what Arlington always gets compared with, is like teeth.
Arlington being the name.
Oh, Arlington National Cemetery. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were talking about, like, you know, Upper Arlington.
Oh, here, no.
The Columbus suburb.
No, that's like the
big cemetery. I was like, that's going to go over a lot of people's heads, bud. Okay, yeah. Arlington, no, it's like cemetery. The
big, yeah.
Gotcha.
So it's nice, neat rows of big teeth-looking headstones.
Mm-hmm.
But this part of the cemetery only has index card-sized white gravestones. They don't display any names on them. And no American flag is allowed to fly over the graves.
Hmm.
They're also all buried so that their backs are facing the main part of the cemetery, kind of indicating that they've turned their back on their country.
Interesting.
Which is really kind of spooky. There's a lot of symbolism.
Yeah.
In this, in like a really weird way. I feel like a lot of the time you wouldn't intentionally construct a graveyard to purposefully erase the people who are buried there, but the military did it, so.
Yeah, well, at least some of these cases it was very extreme. Like, at best, it would destroy the morale of the forces that were fighting.
Yeah.
And at worst, I mean, they're committing heinous, terrible things against other human beings, like rape.
Yeah.
So it is interesting to me any time that death and burial is kind of used to spite people.
Yeah.
It's not typically a fun topic, but it makes sense why they would do things like this to make it clear to future generations, here's how we felt about these people.
Yeah, and families of the soldiers who are buried here have actually, some families have complained about it because there's no names on the headstones. The records have been destroyed intentionally. So if your grandpa is buried there and for some reason you want to go visit, you don't know which headstone is his.
Wow.
Which is really kind of interesting. It's you remember when we talked about how burial at sea is kind of like a permanent erasure?
Right.
Like, I think Osama bin Laden was buried there specifically so no country could claim him.
Yeah.
This kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah.
Like an almost permanent erasure of this person's existence and meaning from the earth.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. That's pretty dark. Not exactly the nicest vacation spot in the world.
You deceived me.
But that's seal number four on our list. The Oisane American Military Cemetery. But I do want us to take a brighter turn for our next little bit. So we're going to drive on over to Italy. And we're going to go to Venice.
Bellissimo.
Bellissimo. What do you know about Venice?
Not much. They got the canals, right?
They got the canals.
Mm.
Because the entirety of Venice is built on garbage, basically.
Oh.
It's built on like a marsh. And the whole place is sinking.
Okay.
So, do you remember when we talked about New Orleans and how burying people in New Orleans is really tough because New Orleans is kind of sinking?
Yeah, and how sometimes you'd bury a casket and think, that's it, we're good to go. Let's call it a night. And then a few weeks later, during a rainstorm, the coffin would shoot up into the sky out of the ground and explode.
Venice is like the problems they have in New Orleans times 10.
Ooh.
They don't really have the rocketing casket problem because when they look outside and they're like, oh, let's try and find some land to bury my dad at, it's just kind of like a river. There's no land. It's all canals.
Yeah, they don't have anywhere to bury people.
So where we're going, once we get to Venice, is the island of San Michele. It's just off the coast. It's pretty. It's nice. And the island is also basically all graveyard.
Ooh.
Which is pretty neat. So here's the story.
The San Michele Island has been inhabited since the 15th century by the Camaldolese monks, who lived in a monastery on the island. In 1804, after Napoleon had established his rule in Venice, he commanded that it was illegal and unhygienic to bury people on the main island. Not being a big fan of the Catholic Church, he decreed that all bodies from Venice must be sent to San Michele for burial instead.
So that makes sense. You wouldn't want to bury a lot of bodies in a bunch of canals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also kind of a dick move on Napoleon's part to be like, let's just put them by the monastery. Let's just, these monks are just trying to live their life on an island. They're just trying to do monk things over there. And Napoleon was like, all right, everyone who dies from here on out has to go over here.
It kind of reminds me, I feel like a lot of people can probably relate to this. Have you ever had a job where it's been really busy and crazy and a lot has been demanded from you? And then you take a quick, like, 5-minute break. Someone comes up to you and they give you a task to do and say, well, since you're not doing anything, since you're not busy, they just assume based on, like, that one little bit that they saw.
Yeah.
That's the impression I get from Napoleon here, where he was like, monks, they never do anything.
They just sit around and read.
Bunch of lazy idiots.
And they were doing things over there. They were building a lot of beautiful architecture, which was very nice. But their island wasn't also sinking into the ocean and had cops on jet skis, which is very funny. Have you seen that?
No.
In Venice? Their cops have, like, ski-doos, and they'll, like, jet ski around.
Why is there not a television drama made out of this yet?
Like, Venetian cops?
Venetian cops.
This is, like, swimming around and doing stuff.
Yeah, like, kind of a Knight Rider or like but Miami boat. Vice sort of situation where they're just zooming around on Ski-Doos, fucking people,
saving
up.
People, fighting crime,
high speed Ski-Doo chase. I want this.
You can make it, you know.
I could. I'm writing it. It's happening.
That's great. Maybe you will make a piece of art as beautiful as San Michel. Here's a photo of it. That's just the good fucking segue. Worst segue. Look at this island. It's really pretty.
It is.
But what do you notice about this island that we are standing in and looking around about us right now?
It's very densely stuffed with gravestones that are all very upright. I don't know. Was this a lead-in into some point that you wanted to make?
The point I wanted to make is that they never got around to repealing Napoleon's decree.
Oh.
So everyone that dies in Venice is still sent to this island to be buried.
Oh.
Which, as I'm sure you can imagine, causes some problems.
When the capacity of the cemetery reached its limits, a new regulation was put in place in 1995. People can now only rest on the island for 10 or 20 years depending on the location of their grave, or for 99 years if they are buried in a family tomb. Afterwards, the remains are either moved to another cemetery or cremated, depending upon the wish of the family.
It's very silly.
Now get out!
I know, like they just... I guess it's so, you know, if one of your family members dies, you can go visit them for a decade. But then after that, they got to go somewhere else.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
It seems like you should just stop allowing people to be buried there.
Yeah. Yeah, where else are they putting these people? What are the alternatives?
I don't know. I guess a different cemetery, but I don't know why it's so important that people get into this one for 10 years.
Is it a status thing that it's like... Well, I don't want to be the one asshole that doesn't get buried in this Venetian cemetery.
I bet it probably is.
Yeah.
And, you know, also maybe, like, I guess it's important for family to be able to visit for a while.
I guess.
You know.
Are both of us kind of, like, not very... Because I know your plans. You want to be cremated and you want your ashes given out to several different people.
Yeah.
I'm very into, like, a green burial, something that, like, dissipates. I think both of us are just... pretty firmly in camp, don't really give a shit if there's a permanent memorial to our lives.
Yeah,
so we're just not going to relate to this sentiment.
I do think this is for people who are like, you know, a year after my 1 year death anniversary, I want my family to be able to come out and lay flowers. And up to 10 years, that's cool. But after 10 years, I don't know, cremate me or move me somewhere, I guess.
I just imagine how depressing it is for someone to just be so, like, set on clinging to a permanent monument of some kind that they're like, please find some other place that you can visit me. Please. Because you know that, like, graves are not visited very frequently.
No.
You go to any cemetery in America, it's like, it's pretty sparsely attended. There's not a lot of people in them unless there's an actual funeral.
Yeah, or like a... really famous person, but then it's mostly just like stuff, like trash left around on the grave.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. That's Saint Michel. It's very pretty. It is a little weird that people just kind of, you get 10 years and then you got to go somewhere else. But maybe that's why having a cemetery on an island, which has a very finite amount of space, might not be the best idea. But it does look cool.
It does look pretty, but yeah. Please just, if somebody already claimed this area, pick a new spot to bury your dead.
Yeah, why can't we just let the people who are there just be like, dibs?
Have you considered a tarmac?
Have you considered a Walmart parking lot? So let's go to the Venetian airport, and we're going to fly off to California. Sound good?
Yeah.
Here we go, we're on our plane. Okay, Dorian, we've been flying for about 12 hours.
It's been so long.
I do want you right now to look out the plane window again.
Uh-huh.
You see all that flat stuff and cornfields out there?
Yeah.
So right now, we are currently flying over Kansas.
Oh.
You know what's special about this route that our plane is taking?
How we went Or okay, so we went west. I guess that's faster. Yeah, it wouldn't make sense. Oh man, disregard that. My geography is fucking awful. I was just like, wouldn't it be easier to go east?
No,
it wouldn't. Okay, so I'm a dummy. No, why are we flying over Kansas? What's so special about this?
This is definitely not the route Pope John Paul II has ever flown.
It's not?
No. Okay. And that's because Pope John Paul II had his flight diverted every time he would fly in the States, specifically to avoid flying over this little podunk cemetery. That's the rumor, anyway.
What's so bad about this cemetery? Looks nice enough.
It actually looks kind of boring.
Yeah.
It just looks like a small town cemetery.
Yeah, it's got a cute little winding road, but, you know, very tranquil. Very whatever.
So this is Stahl Cemetery in Stahl, Kansas.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Whatever.
The thing about it is that it is supposedly the most haunted place in the world.
Ooh, spooky cemetery.
It is very spooky. Here's a history of Stahl, Kansas.
That one?
Yeah, that blank page.
It's haunted. A ghost took it.
Nope. I put a blank page in your notes.
Oh.
Because there's just not really much to know about Stahl, Kansas.
Oh, that was eerie.
That was a little goof. A little goof on my part. Very little has happened there. And the town is pretty much a ghost town at this point, if you'll forgive the pun.
Nice.
There's really nothing going on there. It's never really been that popular. But check out this clip from a 1974 issue of the student newspaper of the University of Kansas.
Far removed from the horrible story of the Exorcist or the bizarre black masses recently discovered in Los Angeles, and tucked away on a rough county road between Topeka and Lawrence, is the tiny town of Stahl. Not unlike the town of Sleepy Hollow, described by Washington Irving in his famous tale, Stahl is one of those towns motorists can miss by blinking. Stahl and Sleepy Hollow have another thing in common. Both are haunted by legends of diabolical supernatural happenings.
Kind of a turn. It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Diabolical,
huh?
Yeah. The Stahl Cemetery supposedly has a big pile of rocks in it. And if you knock on the rocks, Satan will answer you.
Hey, Satan.
I guess it's like a phone, like Satan uses rock phones or something like that. It's very silly. The devil appears in Stahl Cemetery twice a year. Halloween and the spring equinox.
Okay.
Halloween makes sense. I don't know what's so special about spring.
Oh, it's the spookiest time of year.
Yeah.
We call it Halloween too.
And in addition to being having like a gateway to hell through those rocks, it also supposedly houses one of the seven gates of hell, which I guess is different than like a regular gateway to hell, because everything I saw about it had them capitalized. So that's weird.
Uh-huh.
It seems like someone can just go and check, though.
Yeah, I don't see what's the holdup.
there's not even a lot of people buried here. It's not even big. It's just this weird legend has sprung up around this really boring Kansas cemetery. And every year on Halloween, local cops have to like drag kids out of there by the dozens, because people are like, you know, jumping the fence to go in and have like their little seances and
yeah.
Like, I don't know, like probably just drink beer and smoke weed or something.
They're just real randy for some ghost experience of some kind.
Yeah, but it's centered on this really goofy, boring town.
I love that. You gotta make it interesting somehow in small towns.
Yeah, and I guess what they have chosen to do is claim that their cemetery houses a gateway to hell.
Hell yeah. That's Satan's cell phone you're knocking on.
That's that rock over there. Yeah, very strange. And I don't really know how the Pope would have heard of this or diverted his flight around Kansas to not have to fly over it. But that's one of the things I see printed a lot about Stahl Cemetery.
Maybe it's just because Kansas is very boring and he wanted to avoid it at all costs.
Yeah, it is super boring.
We've driven through Kansas.
It sucks really bad.
We've experienced that gauntlet. And I'm survived sure to tell the tale.
There are nice places in Kansas. The 99% of Kansas that's not towns is not that nice place.
Feel free to message us, email us at predeadboys@gmail.com if you want to tell us about cool things in Kansas. Meanwhile, we're going to avoid your haunted fucking cemeteries like the plague, and we're going to keep writing you off as boring.
So. Take that, Kansas. We're going to get like our first one-star review now.
Ah, shit.
So, it is pretty nice that we were able to knock out the fourth cemetery from the air, because the Pope didn't want to do that.
Uh-huh.
But now we've landed in California. We can step out and see this nice sea air in San Francisco.
California. Dun-dun-dun. You know that song?
Was it the California Knows How to Party song?
No, it's a California, you know.
Oh, were you doing Biggie? California.
No,
California.
Not the OC theme song.
Here we come.
Tupac.
Tupac.
Tupac featuring Dr. Dre. But Biggie also had a song called Going Back to Cali. Anyway, this is neither here nor there.
We're in San Francisco. We're going to drive about 20 minutes south down the coast to the tiny town of Colma, California.
Colma?
Colma.
Okay.
Have you heard about this place?
No.
So I guess it's not really that tiny. There are about 1.5 million people here.
That's sizable.
But only 2,000 of them are alive.
What?
Yep. So Colma, California has 1.5 million people, and they are almost all dead. It's a weird place.
Yeah.
Here's the history.
Spanish missionaries founded San Francisco as a small mission town on the El Camino Real trail that linked their missions, and it barely grew under either Spanish or Mexican rule. In 1848, at almost exactly the moment that Mexico ceded California to the United States, people literally struck gold in the Sacramento River, marking the beginning of the gold rush. As a result, San Francisco's population exploded, which means living conditions quickly went downhill.
Yeah. So this is a little bit of California history. If you're not familiar, the California gold rush caused a ton of people who were living on the east side of the United States to move to the west side, which was pretty undeveloped and bad at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you have a bunch of people in like the late 1800s who are trying to cram into a tiny, tiny little town, conditions are going to get rough.
And Americans are notoriously bad at planning for resources being stretched thin.
It's true. We are not good at that. And it's especially bad when you have events like the Spanish flu, which kills millions of people in America.
Oh, was that popping off at this time?
That was popping off. They also had a huge earthquake in, like, I think 1906, which killed a whole lot of people. Things were just not going well in San Francisco at this point. But since this was all happening in the early 1900s, and cremation wasn't really a thing yet, they had to put the bodies somewhere to accommodate, like, how rapidly the city of San Francisco was expanding. So what they decided to do was just move everybody out of town.
Colma became the site for numerous cemeteries after San Francisco outlawed new interments within city limits in 1900, then evicted all existing cemeteries in 1912. Approximately 150,000 bodies were moved between 1920 and 1941 at a cost of $10 per grave and marker. Developers had to locate every plot in the city and dig for remains that may have been decaying for almost a century. At this time, there are 16 cemeteries in Colma, including a pet cemetery.
Yeah, so this is crazy. You are not allowed to be buried in San Francisco.
Anywhere in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So this ordinance still stands.
Still stands. Because it's so developed. There is so much going on there. That's why real estate is so expensive, because they're on like a kind of a peninsula and you can't just build more space. And they kind of hem themselves in by building a big graveyard.
Right.
On one of those things. But it's also kind of wild that the city made everyone who was already buried leave.
Right.
You know, so they're just going through and having to exhume decades of graves and coffins and just like throw them on a truck and get them out of there.
Yeah. Initially, I thought it was funny, just all of these scenarios that we're reading about here, just being like looking at dead people and being like, you got to get the fuck out. I'm sick of it, like evicting dead people.
Yeah.
But then I thought about how nasty it would be to dig up a 50-year-old, like 50 years dead body.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And these are also not in like nice modern day coffins. This is in like a gross 1880s, like
rickety old just wooden box.
It's just full of like just rot, you know?
Nothing embalmed at all.
Nope. And these developers were just having to go through and dig up pretty much every square foot of the city 6 feet deep to try and find where all these coffins were buried.
Yuck.
Yeah, it's gross. So what this whole massive transportation plan resulted in was Colma, California. And the sprawl in Colma is bonkers.
This place is stacked with graves. This is, like, way more intense than even New Orleans.
Yeah.
Where they were just, like, throwing bodies anywhere they could in mausoleums and had wall graves and stuff. This is, like, very tightly packed together.
I mean, the crazy thing about this place is that in the early 1900s, they just didn't think the city was going to get that much bigger. So they were like, they can have all that land out there. Just put those dead people anywhere you want over there.
Yeah.
So Colma has actually expanded to be about 2 square miles that's just densely packed graveyards.
Wow.
And it's still expanding to this day. Because there are a lot of people in San Francisco, and a lot of those people die.
Right.
Actually, all of them are going to die, so I don't know.
You're going to rot.
But to have a whole town that has sprung up specifically to take care of 2 square miles of coffins is pretty impressive and pretty neat.
Yeah. It is really impressive, but man, this does confirm for me, like, I really want a green burial, because this sucks. Like, we can't keep doing this. Just keep eating up land with gravestones and gravestones and gravestones and, like...
No.
2.5 miles, square miles of this?
Yeah.
I mean, I want to see it, because it's probably pretty impressive to see, but... Yeah, we could do a lot better. We're going to have so many dead bodies. Do you know how many people die all the time? Everyone.
A lot.
Everyone dies.
I mean, I don't know. We're not using Kansas. Let's just bury everyone in Kansas. The nice thing about Colma is that they do kind of have a sense of humor about it. They like to have a little bit of fun with what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So their town motto is just, it's great to be alive in Colma. Which I feel like if you exist in a town and, like, you step out your front door and basically walk into a graveyard, you got to have some sort of lightheartedness about it.
Yeah. I feel like we would get along just fine with the people of Colma.
They seem very nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if we're ever out in San Francisco doing a live show.
Again.
Anyone.
Oh, like, because we're here right now.
We are here right now. If we're ever back out in San Francisco doing a live show.
Yeah.
And you live out in California and you've seen Colma, just drop us a line.
Yes.
Let us know if it's actually sick, because it seems cool.
Yep.
So Dorian, that about wraps our tour of just some weird cemeteries that are around.
Oh, so we got to go home already?
Got to go home already.
Oh, shucks.
I got to move tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we saw some weird ones in Georgia, the airport runway and the Walmart mausoleum. Just silly.
Yep.
We saw the American Cemetery in France. We saw Saint Michel, mm-hmm. the island cemetery. We saw Stoll Cemetery. And we saw Colma.
And I think I saw a ghost in Stoll.
You saw a ghost in Stoll. You saw Satan himself popping out
of it. I saw Satan. Or it was a very sunburnt man. Can't be sure.
Which one's your favorite?
Probably still. I really want to go to this rando town in Kansas and explore.
There's like one guy at a gas station.
He's just real polite. And that's it. That's our whole trip. It's just one polite guy in Kansas.
He's like, yeah, it's right over there.
Still want to visit. Still want to knock on Satan's cell phone.
Just like you're kicking every rock over there.
Satan!
It seems like it's just so easy to check. Like, just send a reporter out there and have him, like, deal with it. I don't know.
It's like Santa Claus rules, where if you don't believe, then it doesn't happen. But if you do believe, then it happens.
Ooh. Well, if you do believe, the cops tackle you on Halloween as you're trying to jump in there.
Oh.
Like all those kids who jumped into Lollapalooza recently. You see that?
No.
This is really good. There's a video of like 50 or 60 kids just sprinting at the fence and jumping over it under logic that like the cops can't stop them all. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Isn't that the plan with Area 51?
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
I imagine that's what Stoll looks like on Halloween.
Yeah, just people clamoring over each other. Yeah. Well, food for thought as we board our flight back to good old Columbus and ruminate over these very cool, very weird cemeteries.
I'm glad we got to go to Whataburger while we were out here. Is it Whataburger or In-N-Out?
I don't know. You would think we'd remember being since out here. We just went there, but we just closed our eyes and eight burgers. So well, while we're sitting here on the flight home, we've got some things to read off here. First of all, thank you for listening to this episode. We really appreciate y'all. Talk to us. We're on Twitter and Instagram at @PreDeadBoys. You can email us predeadboys@gmail.com. Search Pre-Dead Boys Podcast on Facebook and join the conversation with us. Tell us what you think. If you want to support the podcast, you can tell a friend. Since we don't advertise, that's what we kind of count on for people finding out about this show. You could also tip us a few bucks if you want to help us financially at ko-fi.com/predeadboys. And it's always a big help if you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. For example, we have 2 new reviews, Max.
We do. It's a nice visibility booster.
It is. We really appreciate it. First one is from Azula SG. They say, listening from Scotland. One of my all-time favorite podcasts. It's spelled F-A-V-O-U-R-I-T-E.
Ooh,
so they're
fancy.
Actually from the United Kingdom.
You can trust it.
Yes. There is so much research crammed into each episode, and every episode is unique. The chat and humor helps to make for an altogether positive listening experience. Cannot rate highly enough. One small thing. For your Scottish listeners, Edinburgh is pronounced Edinburgh.
Oh, that's right.
Which got a little pronunciation guide there.
Edinburgh. Really.
And before it comes up, Glasgow is pronounced Glasgow. It's a little thing, Glasgow. But it's how we spot the tourists. Haha. Love you guys. Keep up the awesome work. Yes. In case it wasn't clear from my fucking awful impressions of accents from other countries, I am from America. I am not from these places. Thank you for the corrections. Thank you for the kind words, too. But yeah, seriously, if you ever want to tell me how I'm butchering pronunciations, I do actually want to know.
Yeah, hit us up. It's fun. We don't care.
Well, I do.
When
it comes to like people's cultures and like the cities they come from, I want to learn.
Yeah, you can correct us. We don't care about being corrected.
We would like to buck the trend of Americans just being nitwits that don't know how to correctly say anything that's not in their native language of English. So
yeah.
But thank you so much for the kind review. It was awesome.
I'll be over in Scotland next year. So I got to learn how to say things right.
Ooh, you got to go to Glasgow.
Glasgow.
It's Glasgow. It's Glasgow. But I'm going to start saying Glasgow because that's funnier to me. Anyway, the second review is from HTown11. It says, it's titled Necromancy. Do you know this person?
Yeah, I bet I do.
Okay. It says, these two boys must be necromancers because they sure do have a lot of fun with death. A great podcast with a unique setup of teacher-student style that is always interesting and funny. Max does a great job at the research and Dorian always asks questions that I feel like I would ask. Keep up the good work, dudes. Heart sign. <3, you know, making a heart. I do appreciate this dynamic that we have where, like, I'm the idiot student who's barely paying attention and just asking dumb questions.
Oh, no, I don't think he's saying that.
And then, you know, Max is out here doing the research. I feel like you would be doing this, too, whether we were doing this podcast or not.
Oh, I absolutely would. Yeah, this is just kind of a free time thing I do already. I just write now.
Yeah, we've been blessed to like record this and put it on the internet and have a bunch of people listen and say kind things about it. But if we didn't do this, Max would be standing outside of my door shouting these facts at me. And I would be trying to sleep and like start throwing things at him.
So, we just got a microphone.
Yeah. Fortunately, it's worked out.
Thanks, Henry. I bet that was Henry.
Might be. If it was, thanks. If it wasn't, thanks.
I'm not going to dox him and say his last name, but you know him, I bet, so...
Okay. Henry Zabrowski. Mm-hmm. Almost certainly. Anyway, thank you, Henry Zabrowski, for the very kind review. We've got an announcement, too. It's not an announcement. You've heard this before. You know that the Columbus Podcast
Awards... You've heard it all before!
That's right. You know it's coming up. You know what it is. Columbus Podcast Awards ceremony is August 25th, 2019, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Gateway Film Center in beautiful Columbus, Ohio.
Beautiful.
The awards show will highlight and celebrate some of your favorite podcasts. This will be a family-friendly and free event, so if you're in Columbus, come out and support. You can register for free tickets to the show at www.columbuspodcastawards.com. Fun fact, you don't need to even put in the www. You just put columbuspodcastawards.com. Your browser does the rest.
Well, the internet do the work for you.
Yeah, come out to that. It's the day after Max gets back from his batch party, and this will probably be the last episode where we'll make an announcement. The next episode will come out after that. But yeah, we hope to see some people there and meet some people and have a good time. And Max will buy you a beer.
Yep.
He is obligated.
Yep.
Don't know how he's going to afford that. Let's make him suffer for it.
It'll be fine.
It'll be great. Our intro and outro music is the song About Time by Brat Curse. Check them out at bratcurse.bandcamp.com. And that's going to do it for us. We packed a lot into this episode. A lot of travel.
Yeah.
A lot of exploration.
Seeing the world. I feel like I've grown as a person.
Yeah, I feel
because
like
of it.
I feel like I've gained a lot of stories that I'm gonna look back on the rest of my life and try to make my friends feel guilty and stupid for not being as well traveled as I am. Just really rub my travel experience in their faces. That's my goal.
Stick it to them.
That's right. Max and Dorian here reminding you, you're gonna rot.
Do you actually smell burning?
Like yeah, crazy? I do. I was wondering about that.
Okay.
Give me a second. It
feels like an electrical thing. Currently investigating the burning smell that's happening. What is it? I'm glad you're smelling it.
I don't know.
Because I guess...
Better record this podcast fast before we die.
There's something I heard.
If you ever had a stroke, you smell burnt toast.
Oh, I guess it's not actually true.
The burnt toast thing is not true?
No.
Oh. All right.
I'm glad we're not both having strokes, though.
Yeah. I'm still going to make jokes about smelling burnt toast. And I'm still going to make jokes about having a stroke.
I'm still going to make stroke jokes.
When I'm making stroke jokes, that's not the stroke I'm talking about. Ayy.
Oh! Oh!
I'm talking about jacking off, yeah.
This is probably the best episode of this podcast we've ever recorded.
God. Oh, I'll edit lots of stuff out. Talking about jacking off, yeah. Harmonica solo.